Okay. Obviously, I'm not really Kenny Melton. So my name's Scott Baker, and I'm going to introduce or talk a little bit about TwinLink, which is the new dual BT gene product from Bayer Crop Science. Then I'm going to turn it over to Kenny and let him discuss some of the new varieties from Bayer. Basic overview. TwinLink contains two proprietary BT genes from Bayer Crop Science, which are the Cry1AB and Cry2AE. And both of these Cry genes contain the BAR gene marker, which gives TwinLink the full commercial tolerance to Liberty herbicide. And when stacking this with Bayer's Glytol gene, then we have the tolerance to the both Liberty and glyphosate as what we see in Bayer's Glytol Liberty Link cotton. Also, this double BT gene construct gives TwinLink the full LEP spectrum of insect control equal to what we see with Bolgard 2. This is the regulatory status update, which we're really proud of. As of December 2013, all scientific evaluations and administrative phases by all key import countries have been completed. Therefore, TwinLink has all the necessary approvals for a commercial launch in 2014. A little background. Over the last six seasons, TwinLink has been tested across the U.S. cotton belt. And this map here illustrates where all these field trials were conducted. Now, they were conducted at both internal Bayer locations as well as with some of the top research entomologists from the universities and USDA. Now, all of these sites, except for the University of Arizona site, which was evaluated for the pink bollworm, were evaluated for bollworm budworm control. I want to show this data from this one location. This is Dr. Jeremy Green's site in South Carolina. And year in and year out, this location produces a very high level of LEP pressure. And to set this slide up, what you see over here in this inset graph is the actual trap capture from this field, or moth trap capture from this field location. And you see we're dealing with primarily with the cotton bollworm. In 2012, this trial consisted of one non-BT entry, two Bolgard 2 entries, and two TwinLink entries. And when we look at the percent boll damage in the non-BT, at the highest point it was approaching 80%. And looking at both the Bolgard 2 and TwinLink entries, they perform very similar with less than 10%, you know, more around 5% boll damage. Moving on to 2013, the setup we had this year, we had, again, one non-BT check, only one Bolgard 2 entry, and four TwinLink entries. The level of pressure here in the non-BT actually reached 100% damage to green bolls. And then looking across at Bolgard 2 and TwinLink entries, again, they perform very similar with 10% or less damage to bolls in this study. Now, we did field cage studies for secondary pests. Because it's difficult to achieve high levels of infestation from secondary pests on most years, we actually constructed cages around these plots in the field and did a live moth release, then went back and evaluated damage within the plots. In this first study, we looked at damage caused by fall armyworm. And what we evaluated was damaged bolls per meter. As you can see, the TwinLink entries, which are right here on the left side of the chart, were there was essentially no damage from fall armyworms in those plots, whereas there was one Bolgard 2 event that did show a little bit of damage. We're looking at basically two damaged bolls per row meter. Now, what we get from this chart is Twin Lakes should perform very well as long as infestation levels of fall armyworm are relative or moderate pressure. And if we get into those high levels of extreme pressure, then we would need to scout and spray these Twin Lake plots as necessary. The next pest we looked at was beet armyworm. Again, we had the same setup. It was two Twin Link entries and three Bolgard 2. And the Twin Link and Bolgard 2 performed extremely well with essentially no damage. Now, however, this would be expected since the beet armyworms are primarily a foliage feeder. You would expect them to ingest enough of the BT protein to control the pest before it moved on into the feeding structures. Another thing I want to mention, though, when you're trying to control beet armyworms, it's very important to have proper weed management strategies in your field, especially when you're dealing in pigweed areas, because what can happen, the larvae can feed on the weeds, gain some size, and then move to the Twin Link plants where it would take more of the BT to actually kill the insect. So in order to increase the value of your Twin Link, you need to implement a good weed management strategy in these fields. Finally, last secondary pest I want to talk about is soybean looper. In this study, we had one non-BT, two Twin Link, and two Bolgard 2. Based on this trial, both Twin Link and Bolgard 2 perform extremely well in the control of soybean loopers. Okay, this chart here illustrates the spectrum of activity for Twin Link cotton. Well, the way this chart reads is everything that's indented over to the far, or I'm sorry, everything that's over to the far left of the chart, Twin Link has excellent control on and should provide full protection under normal infestation levels. When you look at the species that are indented, they can survive to some extent on Twin Link. Therefore, appropriate scouting and maybe a need for oversprays would be necessary for these insects. Another thing I want to point out is right here on cutworms. Twin Link is effective against cutworm, but since the larvae have to ingest the protein, they've already cut the plants and done the damage, so there is need for overspray to control this pest. Some final thoughts on insect control. Twin Link activity on bollworm is superior to wide strike and very similar to what we see with Bolgard 2. Based on our lab and cage studies, Twin Link fall armyworm activity appears to be at least equal to what we've seen with Bolgard 2. And Twin Link should be highly effective on all leaf feeding LEP species and non-weedy fields. Just a quick point on the insect resistant management components. I want to point out the refuge. It is essentially the same as what we see with the other companies, meaning that in non-pink bollworm areas, we have the option for the natural refuge. In the areas where pink bollworm are present, growers need to visit with your local bear representative to find out what these requirements are. In this final slide, I kind of wanted to demonstrate the advantage or how Glytol Liberty Link Twin Link cotton offers the total package for herbicide tolerance and LEP protection. You can see over on the left side, this column represents the Glytol Liberty Link Twin Link cotton. You see, you have tolerance to both glyphosate and Liberty herbicide, as well as a high level of protection against leps. Whereas looking at the other two technologies listed here, there are some limitations. And with that, I'm going to hold off on taking questions so we can move on to Kenny's presentation. But if there are any questions, you can catch up with me out in the hall or sometime. I'll be around the rest of the day. Thank you. There we are.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. And thank you, everyone, for being here this afternoon. My name is Kenny Melton. I'm a regional agronomist with Bayer, operating out of Lubbock. And I'm going to visit with you for a little while this afternoon, talking about some new varieties that we have coming in 2014. I'm going to split this up and talk about new FiberMax varieties first, and then we'll talk about some new Stoneville varieties after that. Within the FiberMax brand, we're going to be launching four new varieties this coming growing season. I've got those four listed there. We're going to jump right into them. The first one we're going to talk about is FiberMax 1320 GL. The GL indicates this is a Glytol Liberty Link variety. This does not have a BT gene in it. As you see by the map there, the prime area of adaptation is going to be out in the high plains, where we still have a pretty sizable non-BT market out there. The FiberMax 1320 GL was tested as BX 1320 GL, and with that stack of both the Glytol and the Liberty Link, you know, we have found the resistant pigweed out in West Texas, and certainly that gives us one more tool that we can use to combat the resistant pigweed with Liberty herbicide. Certainly we know that in West Texas, in the lower, more arid environments, we have some challenges, and we have to be very good stewards of our applications to make that work right. But it can be done. We'd be glad to visit with you on ways that we can promote that. As far as this variety, it is a very early maturity variety. It has a semi-smooth leaf. And as you would expect with an early variety, it's going to be a compact growth habit. It has very good storm tolerance and good fiber quality. This is looking, we're not going to look at a whole lot of data across these varieties because of the amount of time that we've got, but I'll just set up the slides a little bit. In these slides, where we have the variety in question is always going to be highlighted in blue or orange, and then if the varieties that we're using for comparison there, if it's green, that means it's statistically better than that variety in question. If it's yellow, it's significantly lower than that variety in question. If there's no color difference, then there's no statistical difference between the two. So, for example, in this first slide, in looking at the overall yield, you can see that FiberMax 2011 GT, which is an early maturing variety, had significantly better yield than FiberMax 1320 GL. There was no statistical difference between 1320 and 9250 GL, and the FiberMax 9180 and FiberMax 1944 GLB2 were both statistically lower in this data set. This particular data set is CAP trials, or cotton agronomic performance trials, that was taken from this past growing season in the high plains. You can see there we have the ranking is how we came out across all of West Texas. The FiberMax 1320 GL came in third there. In the far northern high plains, that area north of Amarillo and on into Kansas, it came in third there. In the northern high plains, between the area of Lubbock and Amarillo, there we came in fourth. And in the southern high plains, south of Lubbock, from Lubbock south, that came in second in that group. If you look across there at our fiber quality, you can see that one of the important features is that all of these varieties, all of the check varieties, the comparison varieties that we have on under Micronair are statistically lower in their Micronair as compared to FiberMax 1320 GL. I told you this is a very early maturity variety, and the past couple of years we've had issues with low Micronair in the high plains, and actually we do have perennial issues with low Micronair because of our shorter growing season. It's been a little bit worse the past couple of years because of some early cool snaps in the fall, and so the higher Micronair is certainly a big plus for us there. The fiber length is about equivalent to that of FiberMax 2011 GT. Strength and uniformity also very similar to that of FiberMax 2011 GT and the FiberMax 9250. When we get to loan value, it's also equivalent to to FiberMax 2011, and it actually is statistically higher than FiberMax 9250 or 1944. Again, probably due to the fact that we've got that higher micron error. If we look at some of the agronomic characteristics of this, now one of the things that we had with these, with the CAP trials this past year, as you know, whenever you have an experimental variety, you are treating those seed differently. They don't go into the commercial delinter. And so when we were doing some of our delinting with some of, with this particular experimental variety, we did have some damage on some of this seed. So it's not a variety issue, but it was a seed quality issue. We have not seen any problems with early vigor or stands with this variety in past testing, and we had the breeder testing which was actually done with a different set of seed, and we did not see that problem with the emergence and early season vigor. But you can in this data set see that we did have some in these CAP trials, we had early season vigor that was a little bit lower along with the stand count. That's certainly going to affect the node to first fruiting branch and the final plant height, but even so, with the final plant height, you see that it's still about the same as FiberMax 2011. So it's not a very vigorous growing variety. Should be very easily controlled. Now, if you look at percent open, what we did there is we actually looked at the breeder data there, because they did not have these stand issues in their data set. And this highlights the important thing about this variety in that it has earlier maturity as compared to FiberMax 2011. And it would consequently, in other places, we had seen an earlier maturity as compared to FiberMax 9250, a very important feature for that. Storm tolerance was a little bit lower than those varieties we have listed there in question. In a quick summary on FiberMax 1320 GL, the yield, fiber quality, and growth were all very similar to that of FiberMax 9250 GL. The fiber quality and growth was similar also to that of FiberMax 2011 GT. The big thing with this variety is its earliness makes it an excellent fit for the far northern high plains, as well as any place in West Texas where in a replant situation or a late planting situation for some reason. Moving on now to the next variety, and that's FiberMax 2322 GL. This also is a Glytol Liberty Link variety. It was tested as BX1422 GL. It's a medium maturing variety with a semi-smooth leaf, moderate to tall growth as we would expect with a little bit longer maturing variety. Has good storm tolerance, has excellent fiber quality, and it has excellent tolerance to verticillium wilt. We see on the map here the area of adaptation for this variety is primarily in West Texas, except for the far northern reaches of the high plains and on up into Kansas. One thing we did test this and had this in testing out in California and had some seed production grown in California this past year, and it did quite well in the San Joaquin Valley. So it does have some acala in its background, and that probably lends itself to its performance out there with that variety. Looking a little bit at the data, this is from breeder trials in 2013. We see that FiberMax 2322 was significantly better than most of the varieties there in terms of its yield, except for that, it was equivalent to that of FiberMax 2011 GT. Looking across at micronair, you can see that micronair was similar to a FiberMax 2011 and 1320 and 1944 GLB2. The length was significantly better than the FiberMax 2011 GT and the 1320. It was not quite as good as FiberMax 2484 or B2F or FiberMax 1944 GLB2, but those two do have extremely long fiber, so it's just right in between those varieties. As far as strength, it did have significantly better from most of the varieties that it was compared to, as well as the uniformity. When we get down to loan value and we put all those together, we see that it's not statistically different, but numerically it is better than the rest of the comparison varieties. And then, of course, value per acre is better also. Looking at some agronomic characteristics with that, looking at the, if you'll look especially at the plant height, you'll notice that it is a fairly tall variety compared to the rest of those. You can see that it's statistically equivalent to that of FiberMax 1944 GLB2. So a grower would probably need to use a little bit more of an aggressive PGR program as opposed to a lot of the other varieties that he has been using that are non-BT varieties. As far as percent open, there look and see that it is a medium maturing variety equivalent to the maturity of FiberMax 2484 B2F and FiberMax 1944 GLB2. Then we look at storm tolerance. It is lower than the early season non-BT varieties such as 2011 GT and 1320, and then even the 9180 also. But it is about the same as the 2484 and a little bit better than the FiberMax 1944 GLB2. Now looking at verticillium wilt tolerance, this is from some internal data that we had. This is on a scale of 1 to 9, where 1 is the highest level of tolerance. We had extremely good tolerance with this variety to verticillium wilt. Probably the best, some of the best verticillium tolerance that's on the market today is in FiberMax 2484 B2F. It's topped the extension trials out in West Texas in verticillium wilt for the past couple of years, and this variety has performed even better than that. We did have that in the extension trials also this past year, and it performed very well in those trials. In summary, on FiberMax 2322 GL, if we compare that to FiberMax 2011 GT, it has equivalent yield, significantly better fiber. I didn't show any of the results. We did some spinning trials on this variety, and the spinning data looked very good for this variety, so we're really excited about that. It is a larger plant, so it's going to require a little bit more aggressive PGR program. It is has slightly lower storm tolerance. It's layering in maturity, similar to that of FiberMax 2484, and as we've just talked about, has excellent verticillium wilt tolerance. Now I'm going to move to talk about some of our new twin link varieties that Scott has talked to us about that technology. We're really excited to be able to offer the twin link technology as part of the total package of Bayer traits. And we're really looking forward to having that this coming growing season in 2014. The first variety I'm going to talk about is FiberMax 1830 GLT. This variety was tested as BX 1430 GLT. And remember, this has got the Glytol, Liberty Link, and Twin Link technology. So you have the ability to put all the glyphosate as well as Liberty herbicides over the top of these through the season. And we have the BT protection against Lepidopterist pests. FiberMax 1830 GLT is an early maturing variety with a smooth leaf. It has a moderate growth habit, and it has good storm tolerance. Excellent fiber quality, with one of the key features being that it has a little bit higher micronair than a variety that it's very close to, and that's FiberMax 2484 B2F. Its yield is also similar to that. Now, if we look at the area of adaptation, in the solid blue line there, you can see that all of West Texas and southwestern Oklahoma in particular, it's performed well in that area, and that's going to be the primary area. The red dotted lines that you'll see in South and East Texas and out in Arizona are areas where we don't have as robust a data set, but it did perform very well out there in the few trials that we did have, and we feel like it's going to perform well out in those areas as well. The other FiberMax twin link variety that I'm going to talk about is FiberMax 2334 GLT. This was tested as BX 1434 GLT this past year. And it's a medium maturing variety, also a smooth leaf with a moderate growth habit. You'll see in a minute the data that both of these are very similar in their growth to FiberMax 2484. Has good storm tolerance and excellent fiber quality. Again, the higher micronair being a key feature to that, and yields similar to that of FiberMax 2484. Looking at this data set here, what we've done this time is we're looking at FiberMax 2484 as the reference point, and then you'll see the FiberMax 2334 GLT, and then down below that, the FiberMax 1830 GLT that we'll look at across there and compare those. And the color changes are in reference to the performance relative to FiberMax 2484. You can see there was no statistical difference between any of this group. This is breeder trials in 2013. You can see there's no statistical difference between that group in terms of yield. If we look over there in micronair, that's a key feature because we're wanting to see that higher micronair, and we see with FiberMax 2334 GLT and FiberMax 1830 GLT, both of those have statistically higher micronair than FiberMax 2484. And if you'll look on across to the next column, they have better length as well. Strength is similar to FiberMax 2484, and the uniformity is better. When we look at loan value, you can see statistically the 2334 had the higher loan value over 2484. Numerically, the 1830 also had higher loan value. Looking on at some of the agronomic characteristics, we see that the final plant height was very similar to FiberMax 2484. So very, when we saw these in the field, it was very difficult to pick them apart just looking at size alone. When we look at percent open, both of these new twin link varieties are earlier than FiberMax 2484, but especially the FiberMax 1830 GLT is earlier than the FiberMax 2484. So that's why we feel like that one will in particular be able to travel further north. Looking at storm tolerance, both of those are slightly lower in storm tolerance to 2484, about that FiberMax 1944 and FiberMax 2989. Verticillium wilt tolerance with these varieties is very good also. You can see there the rating for 2484, and I mentioned that's one of the best ones on the market today in terms of commercial tolerance to verticillium wilt, and you can see that we had as good as or better tolerance with 2334 GLT and 1830. In summary, both of the yield of both of these varieties was comparable to 2484 B2F. The FiberMax 1830 GLT significantly earlier than FiberMax 2484. The 2334 slightly earlier than 2484, but closer in its maturity to that one. Fiber quality, both of these varieties was better than 2484, 2989, and FiberMax 1944 GLB2. The high mic was especially a key feature with that. Higher mic. The slightly lower storm tolerance of these two varieties compared to FiberMax 2484, it was similar to the FiberMax 1944. And the growth pattern, very similar to that, so the stance applications or PGR applications that you would be making would be very similar to what you're going to be seeing with the 2484. Verticillium wilt tolerance, again, outstanding with these two new varieties. Now move on and talk to you about the new Stoneville varieties that we're going to be launching in 2014. We're going to be launching three of these. The first of these I'll talk about is Stoneville 4747 GLB2. This is was tested as 13BX1347 GLB2. It has Glytol Liberty Link stacked for the herbicide aspect of the technology, and then it has Bolgard 2 for the BT, for the Lepidopterous technology associated with this variety. It's an early to mid maturing variety, probably a little more towards the early. It's a semi-smooth leaf, has a moderate growth habit, good storm tolerance. You can see the broad area of adaptation that we've got there all across the eastern cotton belt, save the lower south there in Louisiana, and good fiber quality with excellent yield potential with this variety. That's the key feature with this variety. This is looking at a comparison of Stoneville 4747 GLB2 to Stoneville 4946 GLB2 and FiberMax 1944 GLB2. We can see that our yield is significantly better than FiberMax 1944 GLB2 and statistically equivalent to Stoneville 4946, but numerically a little bit higher than Stoneville 4946. Micronair is a little lower than Stoneville 4946 and a little equivalent to that of 1944. Our length is better than Stoneville 4946, so that's a good feature with this variety. The strength and uniformity are slightly lower than both of those comparison varieties, but when we look at the loan value in the end, that there was no statistical difference between any of those. Looking at some of the agronomic characteristics, we can see that the node to first fruiting branch was equivalent to that of FiberMax 1944 GLB2, so it began fruiting about the same place on the plant. Both of those a little bit higher up on the plant than Stoneville 4946. As far as plant height, there was not much difference, so we anticipate that we'll use about the same PGR program as you would use with these two comparison varieties. When we look at maturity, you can see there that the Stoneville 4747 GLB2 is earlier than both of these varieties. Storm tolerance is very similar. So in summary, with this variety, we've got outstanding yield potential with this variety. We have, of course, both the Glytol Liberty Link traits to enable you to combat the weed resistance that we have that's especially pervasive in the east. And we have a good fiber package. It has the earliest maturing variety that we have in the Stoneville portfolio. And our geographic fit, again, is across all of the eastern cotton belt except for the lowest part of the Mid-South. Moving on to our Twin Link offerings in Stoneville varieties. The first one is Stoneville 5032 GLT. This was tested as BX1332 GLT. You see our area of adaptation there is across the upper part of the Mid-South and across into the Mid-Atlantic. Again, we've got the Twin Link technology with this variety, the GLT. Then we have, this is a medium maturing variety with a semi-smooth leaf, moderate growth habit, and pretty good storm tolerance with this variety. As we look at our yield comparisons, we see that we are in between, equivalent to the Fibromax 1944 GLB2, slightly under the Stoneville 4946. Micronair is lower than both of these two varieties, so the high mic likelihood is not as great with this variety. Our length is better than Stoneville 4946, not quite as high as the Fibromax 1944. Strength is equivalent across those three varieties. Uniformity is similar to that of 1944, and our loan value ends up being about the same with no statistical difference between the three of those. If we break that out into just looking at irrigated versus dry land, we did see that the Stoneville 5032 GLT performed better under irrigated conditions as compared to dry land conditions. So that's a characteristic to take into account as you're planning with this variety. Looking at some agronomic characteristics, we can see as we look at the node to first fruiting branch, it begins fruiting about the same height on the plant as Stoneville 4946 GLB2. It is going to be a taller plant than either of these two varieties, so a more aggressive PGR program might be necessary. As far as percent open and the maturity of this variety, it is going to be something that's going to be later maturing than the Stoneville 4946 GLB2 or the 1944 GLB2. In summary, we've got yield similar to 1944, slightly lower than that of 4946. GLB2 performance is better on the irrigated, slightly taller on the 4946 as compared to 4946 and a 1944. It's later maturing than both of those varieties. The fiber value is going to be similar for all three of those varieties, with a slightly lower micronair than Stoneville 4946 and Fibromax 1944. It's going to have longer fiber than Stoneville 4946, not quite as long as Fibromax 1944. Move on to our final variety. This is Stoneville 5289 GLT. This was tested as BX 1438 GLT. You can see our area of adaptation there is across all of the, including the lower Mid-South with this variety. The background on this variety is similar to that as Stoneville 5288 B2F. So it's going to have a lot of similarities to that. It's a medium maturing variety like 5288 B2F. It has a hairy leaf. It's a medium to tall plant with good storm tolerance. Looking at a direct comparison with Stoneville 5288, this is head-to-head in the core area for that variety. Looking at it compared there in Louisiana cap trials this past year, you can see that across almost all of those parameters that there was no statistical difference save the micronair. The micronair was significantly lower with 5289 GLT as compared to the 5288, and that ended up giving us a statistically higher loan value with that variety. Looking at comparisons again across, this is cap trials across the Mid-South, Mid-Atlantic, and Southeast. Looking at those comparisons with, again, Stoneville 4946 GLB2 and Fibromax 1944 GLB2, we see that our yields are in between there, in between the 4946 and the 1944. The micronair is similar to that of Fibromax 1944, with the link strength and uniformity loan value slightly under there. But again, when you look at value per acre, we're in between the Stoneville 4946 GLB2 and the Fibromax 1944. When we go to looking at some of the agronomic characteristics of these varieties, we can see that our vigor is similar to that of Fibromax 1944. And when we look at our final plant height, its growth is similar to that of the Stoneville 4946. Looking at percent open at our maturity, we can see that it is similar in its maturity to Stoneville 4946, and that it is slightly later than Stoneville than FiberMax 1944 GLB2. Storm tolerance is similar across all three of those varieties. So in summary, for this variety, the yields were similar to Stoneville 5288 B2F and 1944 GLB2. It's later maturing than the FiberMax 1944 GLB2 and similar to that of Stoneville 4946 GLB2. It does have better fiber as compared to a variety that it's from a similar background, Stoneville 5288 B2F, and we'll target this variety for a similar growing region as Stoneville 5288 B2F. With that, I think my time is probably used up. The Bayer folks will be here, and we'll be happy to visit with you about any of these varieties and any of these technologies. Again, we're very excited to have the Twin Link to be able to offer the full package of Bayer traits to you this coming growing season. Thank you very much.